Psalm 19, verse 14. David says, "Let my words and meditations be acceptable to God." This statement brings us to some good questions. How do we do this? How do we have a good thought life? What can we do to control our thoughts and make them acceptable to God? The Bible gives us principles that we can apply in our lives. Our mind is a battlefield, and Satan is aggressive in trying to get control of our thoughts. If he can control our thoughts, he can influence our actions and our attitudes. We are assaulted by his arsenal of weapons, including bitterness. Bitterness, whose shrapnel not only hurts us, but others around us who are infected by our bitterness, our words. Words are things. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way in Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness. Satan also uses depression, defeat, and discouragement to weaken us from our dedication to Christ. He'll use anger to rob us of an attitude of joy and peace. Hatred, pride, will poison our spirit and quench our passion and our love for Christ and for others. Our words, brothers and sisters, are very, very important. We contend also with sensuality and lust that can rob us of our purity and our testimony for Christ. Bitterness, depression, defeat, anger, hatred, pride, sensuality, and lust are thoughts that are unacceptable with God. Our thoughts and our words, brothers and sisters, are so important. And how do we keep our thoughts and our words at bay? What can we do to get victory in our thought life and have thoughts that are acceptable to God? David said in the psalm, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight." First of all, we have to realize that our thoughts are not hidden from God. God is all-knowing. Psalm 94:11, "The Lord knows the thoughts of men, that they are vanity." Since we know the Lord knows our thoughts and that he cannot be fooled, it will help motivate us to be careful what we're thinking, since we'll be given an account of our thoughts to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have to guard our thoughts. The Lord knows all our thoughts. When you're letting your mind throughout the day wander down the road of all the sins that I just mentioned, you think about them, you meditate on them, as opposed to meditating on the scripture. We also have to reject the lies of this world that lead to sinful thoughts and habits. If people think that sinful habits or attitudes are not bad and will not hurt them, then there's a tendency to indulge in them and let them take root in the heart and the mind. We have to set our minds, brothers and sisters, on Christ. Indulging in things like pornography or harboring hatred and envy and pride in your heart are destructive and sinful, according to God's standards of what is right and wrong. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. But whoso commits adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth destroyeth his own soul. Brothers and sisters, we cannot have our minds focused on lust, but we have to focus our minds on Christ. Set your mind on things above. Set your minds on Christ. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. I thought life so important. But I say unto you that whoso looketh on a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her already in his heart. I thought life, brothers and sisters, what are we meditating on? What are we filling our minds with? The sowing of disobedience usually begins in a mind that has been deceived into thinking that sin will not hurt you and you will not get caught. Satan loves telling you sin will not hurt you. The truth of the matter is, what is sown will eventually be reaped. If you focus your mind on the Word of God, and not only know what the Word of God says, but put it into practice. If we are to have the right kind of thoughts, we must reject which is unacceptable to God. We're not to be conforming to the philosophy and lifestyle of the sinful world. If our thinking is in conflict with God's Word, then we are to change our thinking. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You must renew your mind. You must be in the Word of God. You must meditate on the Word of God. Like a bee goes into a flower and sucks at the honey. Brothers and sisters, we have to renew our minds. We got to chew on it. We got to meditate on it. And then the things you meditate on and dwell on, those will come out of your mouth. Our words. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, that you put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Brothers and sisters, the mind is the battlefield. If the battle is won in the mind, then the battle will be won with your words. Our words have to be acceptable in God's sight. There's a Hebrew teaching, saper, la saper. When you speak, you're supposed to give jewels. You hear that word saper, where we get sapphire from? When you speak, you are to speak jewels, sapphires. If you can't say something good, then don't say nothing at all. We're to guard our minds from that which is unacceptable to God. What kind of person we are becoming is determined by what we are taking into our heart. You basically become what you eat. Tomorrow's character is made by today's thoughts. Tomorrow's character is made by today's thoughts. You are today what you were dwelling on yesterday. Temptation may come suddenly, but sin doesn't. We become what we think. The thing that you dwell on is the thing you will become. We need to guard our hearts. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This is along the same line as the point I made before. We're to be alert to those things that will enter and corrupt our thought life and stir up lustful desires or hate within us. We have to be careful about what we view, what we hear, what we touch, what we feel. It is vital that we not willingly put ourselves into situations that tempt us to do wrong or have the wrong kinds of thought. What are you filling your mind with? What are you taking into your heart? We're not to make provision for failure or for the flesh. Romans 13:14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Set your mind on things above. Look unto Christ, Behold, Christ, set Christ before you. I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. What are you watching on TV? What are you watching on the internet? What are you viewing? What are you putting down into that soul of yours? Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in thy way. If you're struggling with lust or other bad thoughts, then identify the times when they come into your mind. What are you doing with your mind? What are you feeding it? If the company we keep stirs up unacceptable thoughts, then we need to keep company with people that will build us up spiritually and not bring us down. Joseph definitely knew that Potiphar's wife was bad company, and what'd he do? He fled from her. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Bad company corrupts good morals. That which is lustful can be avoided according to the Bible. As Christians, we do have a choice to say no to that which is wrong. We should do our best to prevent temptation in our lives, not invite it in. It's much easier to avoid temptation than to resist it. Don't flirt with disaster. Don't resist temptation when you can run from it. That is what Joseph did. It pays to be a coward when it comes to sexual temptation. Flee, run, get out of there. Flee, youthful lust. Flee, run, run the opposite way. Flee, youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What are you feeding your mind with? We also to ask God to help us with our thought life. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Brothers and sisters, God knows your thoughts, what you're dwelling on, what you're feeding your mind with. Examine me, O Lord, improve me, try me, try my heart. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, turn off the music, turn off the internet, and pray. We often fall on our knees after we lose a battle. But the battle is to be fought beforehand. But to flee, we need to fall upon our knees before we face our battles and temptations. Filling your mind with the word, filling your mind and your heart with prayer. When you're tempted to do that which is wrong, use the temptation as a prayer trigger to confront and escape that temptation. As soon as that thought comes into your mind, begin to pray. When tempted with a bad or improper thought, then pray for someone. Plan ahead of time who you pray for, and do it every time you have the wrong kind of thoughts. If you have anger towards anybody, bitterness towards anyone, begin to pray for them. This truth was taught by Paul when he spoke of using the temptation as a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Brothers and sisters, we're to count ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God. We're to think about the Lord throughout the day. This is what is good about praying, because it gets you focused on the Lord instead of that which is harmful. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed on thee. You have to cause your mind to be stayed on the Lord. You have to dwell on the Lord. You have to set your mind just like you set your radio on a specific channel. That is what we're to do with our minds, brothers and sisters. We're to set our mind on things above. We're to set our minds on Christ. We're to dwell on Christ. We're to focus on Christ. We're to think about Christ. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see? The meditation of your heart there. Whatsoever things. As opposed to whatsoever things are false. Whatsoever things are a lie. Whatsoever things are unjust. Whatsoever things are impure. Whatsoever things are unlovely. Whatsoever things are of a bad report. That, brothers and sisters, is not where we want to dwell. Christ is greater than all of those sins that I just mentioned. He is true. Christ is true. Christ is honest. Christ is just. Christ is pure. Christ is lovely. Christ is of a good report. Christ is praiseworthy. Another activity that you can do is read good books, such as Bible study books or biographies of the saints that have gone before us. We're to read and to meditate upon the Word of God. We're to read God's Word and fill our mind with Scriptures by memorizing it. Absolutely essential. Fill our minds with Scripture. Once you memorize the Word, think upon it throughout the day and night. That's what it means to meditate. Like a cow chews the cud. I love to take a verse and think about it all throughout the day and in the night. The Holy Spirit has revealed to me many wonderful truths from Scripture. When I apply this practice in my life, meditate upon God's Word in the Lord, and it will reveal wonderful truths to you. The Bible is the most powerful weapon that we have in getting victory in our thought life. It helps deal with bitterness, depression, defeat, anger, hatred, pride, sensuality, and lust. Thy word I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One of the key factors in getting victory over a sin problem is making yourself accountable to someone for your spiritual condition. This person could be an elder, a parent, a godly Christian friend. Should be somebody that makes you uncomfortable about sin. It should be someone of the same sex, if possible. That person should have the freedom to ask you probing questions about your life and about your thoughts. If you know someone's going to ask you what you're looking at or thinking about, you're going to be careful about what you do. But how much more that you would know that God knows all of your thoughts? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Brothers and sisters, we have to be able to be honest with one another. But far too often, we have this mask on. All is well. You see somebody at church and it's, hey, how you doing? Okay, I'm okay. And people don't open up. They're trying to be somebody that they're really not. They're trying to cover up the pain, the heartache, the sin, the failures as opposed to brothers and sisters, we're to confess our sins one to another, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The word submitting yourselves means to subordinate or to subject oneself, to yield to one's admonition or advice. Seek advice from your brothers and sisters. And I'll close with 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. We're to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters. We're to be in the Word. We're to meditate on the Word. And if you're in the Word and meditate on the Word, that's the words that will come out of your mouth. Out of your mouth comes the issues of the heart. The thing that you're filling up your mind and your heart with, they reveal the truth about you. All you have to do is really listen to a person, and you know what they're all about. But sometimes we forget that the Lord has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. And many times we have 1 ear and 2 mouths. We're always talking, but never listening. Let us, in Christ, listen. Listen. May we be Christ ones. And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Christ, the scripture says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. You're to come to Christ. Those words that you just heard, those words will bring eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Whosoever will, come. If you're weary and heavy laden, come. Christ says, I'll give you rest. See, the words that are being spoke to you, not words of hatred and bitterness and lust and defilement, but words of life. Words of life. These are the words that are acceptable in the sight of God.